Bob, I got revenge on one golf course yesterday, and Hickory Heights is next today. The last time I was out there, I shot a 113 and embarrassed myself in front of two people. It's not going to happen today.
So this is the Joe Starkey revenge tour of yourself.
Yes, it is. Yesterday, it was Conley's in Butler, where my friend Josh Danino works. And what a beautiful day, Bob. Nobody was there because it was raining, and then it stopped raining. So it was overcast. It was very still. And I played in an hour and a half by myself and played well. I managed the course well. That, my friend, is golfing bliss. Is it not?
Yeah. I mean, they played that qualifying yesterday, Quicksilver, same conditions. That's a tough golf course. But yeah, when you're playing out there and it's just peaceful all by yourself, there's a lot to be said. The one thing I will say to you is that you keep shying away from your driver.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
I hate my driver.
You can't hate it. Golf is a love-hate relationship.
I hate it. Well, I was going to say, forget it. How are you, Bob? You're dressed in Bears colors, and I'm about to make not an announcement, but a prediction. We can't give it away. I'll first just give you a moment to tell everybody how you are.
I'm doing fine. Yeah, this was merely accident. I'm wearing the blue and orange of the Chicago Bears.
Yeah.
But I know that you have some thoughts about that. Because tonight is the release show for the NFL schedule, and 8 o'clock will be on. We have a program at 8:30 on KDK Plus where we're going to break it all down. Arthur Motes will join us for that. So I'm looking forward to seeing where they go, and I'm having this terrible, terrible premonition that they're going to play again on Christmas Day, and I hope that's not the case because I do not like those Christmas Day games.
I know. Yes, I do. I enjoy them.
If they're at night, fine.
Bob, everybody opens their presents at 8 a.m. and then they're all fighting by noon. We all need something to do.
If they're at night, they're fine for me, but not in the day. The day's kind of a sacrosanct area for me. I don't like going, last year was a 1 o'clock game I think we had.
Yeah.
So it was a whole day affair, you know?
Yes.
I just want those days to be left alone. Just as you describe peace on the golf course, this is what I like on Christmas Day. Peaceful, right?
Austin, I agree,
you're
Bob.
One of those guys.
I agree.
I don't want to be bothered by thinking I got to go to work.
Yeah, but who's pretending? Like I said, it's all peaceful at 7 a.m. when we're all opening the toys and things by noon.
I don't know
if your family's different than ours, but by noon we're all fighting and need something to do.
You wait till you're an empty nester. You ain't getting up at 7 a.m.
I know. Well, I'll get up at 5 a.m. to pee, and then I can't get back to sleep because I'm worried about the kid all day, wherever she might be.
Well,
life is difficult.
Life is difficult.
That was the first line of what was that book? That famous book, On the Road, Off the Road, The Road Less Traveled.
The Road Less Traveled, right?
By F. Scott Peck. The first line was "Life is difficult." I think Limits has found that.
Yeah, I have. A lot of twists and turns.
Although you do have a Baldwin wiffle ball shirt on today, which is gigantic.
Yes. How do you feel about this?
Look
Bob?
At this. Bob.
This is the brand new shirt I designed for
he
Baldwin
designed
wiffle ball
it.
Season 6.
Very nice. In cursive, no less.
Week 2 is on Sunday. Crowley might be throwing out the first pitch.
No, he'll be the latest in a line of people who say they're going to do things for Baldwin Wiffle Ball and then don't, like Bob, who said he was going to throw out the first pitch at the opener
reneged. I never said I would. I said I would look into it based on my schedule. I work on Sundays. That's the difference.
Not till nighttime, Bob.
Call in sick, Bob. Richie can work for you, Bob.
Yeah, call in sick, Bob. This call in sick theme.
Yeah, I think we should all have called in sick, judging by the way this segment is off and flying. Thank you, Limits. How are you today? Generally good?
Genuinely, yes. I'm doing really well. And it's good to be with you guys today. I'm excited for what the schedule might bring. And if Aaron Rodgers has anything to do with the amount of primetime games the Steelers might have today.
I think that's going to be a possibility here, that they're going to have a lot of the marquee games. We already know that Kansas City-Dallas will be a Thanksgiving Day game, and I think Kansas City is going to play on Christmas Day also. So when you're popular and in demand, you're going to play on all these holidays. And certainly the Steelers fall into that popular category. So I don't know. I still think the best opener would be the Jets.
Well, let's talk about that, Bob, and that gets us to our Wednesday morning six-pack. I was thinking about Ron this morning because I was looking up facts about the 1884 Pittsburgh Alleghenies lineup compared to the 2025 Pirates lineup. That was the Pirates' precursor, the Alleghenies. And we know Ron was the beat writer. They had a player named Phenomenal Smith. Another one.
Phenomenal? They gave that name out back in 1894?
Yeah.
Phenomenal athlete.
Another guy's name was Buttercup, was his first name.
Don't forget about Chappie Lane.
Chappie Lane, Crazy Schmidt. And a guy called the Only Nolan. He was from Canada. And if you look him up on Baseball Reference, it wasn't a nickname. His name was three words, the only Nolan. What do you make of that, Bob?
I'm surprised. These are the sorts of names you see today more often than not, not back in 1894.
The only Nolan.
The only Nolan.
He had a hell of a mustache. Limits, crack that one again. Let's have an opener here. Thank you. Bob, Andrew Filippone is hoping and predicting, but not reporting, that the Steelers opener would be in Chicago at 425 with your friends, Romo and Nance, on the call. The Pirates play at home that weekend. So the only way really that the Steelers could play at home would be a Monday night game. What would be your preferred matchup that week? A home Monday night game or a road game at, and I'll give you the teams in case you've forgotten, both of you. Ravens, obviously the division. Bears, Lions, Chargers, Patriots, or Jets. Then among the home teams to choose from outside the division for a primetime game on Monday would be Bills, Packers, Colts, Dolphins, Vikings, and Seahawks. Not the Vikings. That one's in Ireland. Bob, I want the Steelers to go play the Jets in the Aaron Rodgers, Justin Fields Bowl.
That was my pick. I told Pony last night on our sports call show, that's my pick. I think that would be a great way to start right off the bat. And you get Justin Fields on the road, a 1 o'clock game on KDKA. That's what I prefer.
Yeah.
But I think that would be a good way to start. Now, there are those who believe that the Packers on a Monday night here would be something.
That would be pretty good.
But I don't think they're going to do that in week one. Week one's already hyped enough. But down the road, that could be a game that could be a Christmas game.
Steelers, Packers. What about the Bills? Bills coming here on a Monday night.
That could also be the case. I mean, there are a lot of ways
they can
go.
How about that, Bob? Would you like to see that?
Of course you would.
I don't know about Monday night. I mean, I'm preference not a Sunday night. I like Sunday night a little better than Monday night.
Yeah. How about Steelers at Detroit in a primetime game?
That could be also, and that's a big one. I'm surprised Detroit wasn't in the opener, the season opener at Philadelphia. I thought that was the marquee matchup that I would have liked to have seen.
Cowboys-Eagles is pretty good, though.
I understand. That's a division game.
That is a high-profile game.
Are they
going to
make a preference all of a sudden changing last year's philosophy, which was backloading on division games? All of a sudden, first week, we're going to see a lot of division games?
I don't know, Bob.
I don't like that, though. Do you? I don't want the first game to be a division game.
No, I like division games later in the year. But in that, it's for the Steelers. In that case, man, it's hard to argue with opening Cowboys-Eagles. That is a prime-time matchup. Limits, what would you like to see here for the Steelers opener?
I would love to see it at the Jets, Monday Night Football. That makes a ton of sense. I feel like Green Bay is going to be a little bit later on into the year, something that where they can really build up to it with Steelers and Packers at home. Rodgers, Jordan Love, really good matchup. But I tell you what, another road game that I'm looking out for is at the Chargers.
Yeah.
There always seems like there's a game that we didn't expect. Like, oh, the Steelers are playing the Jets last year at home in prime time. They're playing the Giants in prime time. Like, really? What's that head scratcher this year? I think it might be the Chargers.
Well, they've played the Chargers in prime time many times that come to mind for me, Bob. I was in the stadium one night. And
Soccer stadium.
It was Duck Hodges' first game.
I remember that one.
You know who had a hell of a game that night?
Devin Bush.
Yes, Devin Bush.
He did. He was all over the place.
You remember the day or the night that Michael Vick led the Steelers to victory?
On that fourth and goal situation?
Yes.
And he had a score, and he did.
Le'Veon Bell scored.
Or Le'Veon Bell, but they had to
Tomlin
score, right?
Said, well, we went to the mattresses, or whatever that line is. Is it from Goodfellas, Bob? I forget where that line is from. It was unbelievable. He went for it on fourth and goal, win or lose the game, and Le'Veon scored. Justin Crinkulent. You remember that one, Limits?
Dude, that was a game that came down to the very, very, very end.
Yeah. And wasn't it a primetime game when, was it Mike Williams or who was the Chargers receiver who had like 37 targets same game?
That was,
who was it, Bob?
Allen?
Keenan Allen.
You're right.
You're right about that.
It was over the middle all day long. It seems like they just kept throwing
it. It was incredible. Ask Julian Edelman about that. He still tell you the Steelers still play the same way they did 15 years ago, 10 or 5 years ago.
One thing that kind of doesn't make sense to me is we don't see a lot of Steelers Ravens in primetime like we used to. You know, like it used to be an every year occurrence. Oh, well, the Steelers and Ravens are definitely playing a Sunday night football game this year.
Bob, is what he's saying accurate or inaccurate?
I think there have been primetime games, and I would expect one of them to be a primetime game this year.
I'm trying to think now if Limits is accurate or inaccurate on that.
Well, there have been some that have been flexed.
You said that they've declined in recent years, and I want to check your facts. That's all.
Go right ahead.
You got to watch every word with him.
No, I'm just checking.
A beat writer will call
every
me out
word.
For it.
He just said out loud that and he might be right. I'm not saying he's wrong.
Well, you obviously think he is because you're digging deep into the computer.
I'm questioning him.
Now.
I'll tell you that. The games last year were both in the afternoon in the regular season.
Right.
Am I right about that?
That's correct. It was 4:30 that game that was played, the flex game to Saturday.
Right. That's right. In 2023, the game in Baltimore to end the season was a Sunday afternoon. Mason to Deontay Johnson. Am I right about that with the big playoff
clinching?
Yeah,
that was a big one, right.
Play.
The Pickett one to Najee in Baltimore was in prime time. I do remember that from a couple of years
ago. Yes, it was. How about Pickett? And you're right, Limits. The last 2 years, they have not played a prime time regular season game. He's right, Bob.
I don't know. You clearly did.
Clearly.
He did.
Yes. 2022, you're right, Limits. The Pickett to Najee game was prime time.
And that was a game that was flexed to prime time.
Right.
Was it?
Yes, because I remember I was in L.A. watching that game after going to the Rose Bowls the same day, or maybe the day before, but regardless, it was supposed to be at one time. They moved it to another time, so it was like, oh, got to find a way to watch this game now.
Limits, by the way, let's make the announcement to people that when we have a game, not just on the Steelers schedule that gets filled in, because surely there will be leaks during the show today, Bob. But anytime we get any game in the NFL that leaks to us or leaks in general, I want you to ring a bell, much as you did on trade deadline day. Okay? That. Right.
That sounds like we're going for an afternoon tea. Do we have anything more NFL-like?
Afternoon tea.
Every time a team gets its opponent, a Limits gets his wings.
There
Bob,
is a
did
drop
you hear that
came out as the Chiefs and Eagles will play week 2 in Kansas City. 425
game. That's a good game, Bob, is it
Chiefs
not?
Chiefs and the Eagles, 425.
The rematch.
Yeah.
Why don't we make a list, Limits, of all the games we get leaking and also any Steeler games we get? How about this, Bob? The Chiefs will host the Broncos on Christmas night. Did you already say that?
No.
And the Chiefs play the Cowboys.
Well, no, I did say they play on Christmas. I didn't say who they played, right.
Broncos, that's a great game.
Yeah.
That's a night, I think, a night game. So the other game is Chiefs Cowboys on Thanksgiving. You like that one? That's a great game.
Yeah, that's
game.
A good one. Chiefs are going to be in all these things. How about some of these NFL games overseas, man? I can't believe how many cities are going to, and they're going to get even deeper into this.
Do you like that, Bob, or are you against it?
I liked it a little bit sprinkled in, but now it's becoming more and more, and I think it's only going to continue that way. So I think it's a little bit too much. And I'm speaking, I guess, from a fan point of view. If you have a home game, you're paying for season tickets, and you get one less. And I don't know how they, divvy that up to fans who have season tickets or what they do. But and if you want to travel, you know how much it costs to travel these days. It's just crazy, some of the prices out there. So it's hard to do.
Have they decided if you're going to Ireland or not? Crowley is.
Yeah, well, probably Rich will go because Charlie and I stay back here, and then Hoke and I do post game. The only thing about that, it's a 9:30 game. It's 6:30 in the morning in West Coast time. So if you're a Steeler fan on a Sunday morning, you got to get up at like 5 to get ready if you're going to tailgate.
You and Hokie can have breakfast together that day.
Yeah,
Bob.
We can do that.
I met one of his sons.
That's the thing
the
I don't like,
player.
9:30 games. That's a little early.
No, I love it. It's a switch. When I was out on the West Coast with my friend Dan Dorn, we used to wake up and watch football all the time.
I used to wake up and watch Wimbledon all the time.
I mean, breakfast at Wimbledon.
Breakfast is when we'd bring our breakfast in and watch the whole thing.
Right. Cream and, what is it, crumpets and straw? What do they have there? What's the standard dish there? Strawberries and cream?
Something like that.
Strawberries and crumpet? Biscuits and cream? What is it? What is it in the morning?
Crumpets.
Limit?
Tea and crumpets.
Bob, have you ever had a crumpet?
No, I've had tea, but no crumpets. I've had crumbs before, but no crumpet.
Donnie used to play the crumpet in high school. What else is going on here? I had one other thing to say about the NFL schedule. What would you like the Steelers' home opener to be if they have to go on the road the first week, Bob?
What would I like it to be?
Which
I know
team
they
would
seen.
You want to come here for the home opener?
Well,
Ravens, Bills, Bengals, Browns, Packers, Colts, Dolphins, or Seahawks?
Dolphins.
Why?
Just because I like that matchup. Tua Tagovailoa and his team coming here. Or actually, that may be better in December when they're used to those kind of weather conditions, maybe.
Is it better to get these divisional game, these divisional teams early? Like, I'm thinking of the Bengals. They've struggled early. I wouldn't mind getting them
Trey
early.
Trey Hendrickson is really PO'd right now.
I saw that.
Yeah, he is really having a hard time with what they're doing. And they went back on their word, I think. And there could be some problems internally there, so that might be good. But, yeah, both teams would look at it that way, though.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind having the Bengals early. Or the Browns, because they're going to have some upset, I think, at the quarterback position. You know what I mean? They may have that all season. I think I'd like to see the Browns here. A little Kenny Pickett in town, Bob? You think he'll be the starter?
The more this goes, the more I think it will be. I thought Joe Flacco at first, but unless, you know, somebody in that, you know, you have four quarterbacks legitimately trying to make your roster or make the starting job, that's a tough competition in preseason. I think it's going to be Pickett. They traded for him. They wanted him.
Next. Oh, we have a schedule update, Bob.
Thanksgiving is coming together, Bob.
Okay.
And
don't tell me.
You will not be in Detroit, or Richie will not be in Detroit, because the Steelers do play in Detroit, but Lions will host the Vikings on Thanksgiving.
That's a good one.
Lions, good Vikings, one. And Chiefs, Cowboys so
That's
far,
correct.
Right?
So it still leaves open the possibility of an 8 o'clock Steeler game prime time on Thanksgiving that hasn't been announced yet. So
Maybe the Ravens. I think that has happened before. Back in the days, they used to play in prime time, right, Lemons?
That's right.
Next, crack a beer, will you?
Sure.
Please. Bob, Pete Rose, and Shoeless Joe Jackson are now eligible for the Hall of Fame. They've been removed from the banned list. Your reaction? Among others, I might add, but those are obviously the two big names.
I find it interesting that it happens after they're gone and they're not here, because if you're going to do it, you should make it so that they at least have a chance to witness it, like we saw with Dave Parker and others who wait so long. So I would have preferred to see this earlier. I know Rob Manfred says, well, it's a lifetime ban, so when they're dead, the ban is over. But now there's a possibility that these guys could be enshrined in the Hall of Fame at some point. They're going to have this Eras Committee decide. And some people seem to think that Pete Rose will make it that way. Personally, I hope he does as a player.
Does he deserve it over Bonds? Should Bonds go in first?
I've been very clear. I think they all should go in.
So do I.
But I'm just saying, in this case, he has to go through a different kind of committee. And the committee members who are on this are people who may not like Pete Rose, managers, other people, and people who may. And from what I understand, you need 12 votes to get it out of 16 or something like that. So it may not be as easy, but I think all of those guys should be. I look at it strictly as if you're allowed to play and you played and baseball didn't do anything about you playing, he has 4,000-plus hits. That's pretty easy to sell me on that.
There aren't many exceptions I would make. I think other halls of fame get it right. Although, as we broke on this station, on this show, as a matter of fact, the character clause has come into effect in the NFL, where we had Gary Myers, a voter, on about a year ago, who told us that the voters in the NFL, those writers were told that they could include, you know, how a guy is in the locker room, that type of thing. And that T.O. may have been kept out because of that. And Antonio Brown. T.O. eventually got in.
Right.
But Antonio Brown, that may become an issue. However, for the most part, I agree with you that it should just be what you did on the field.
Right.
That makes it very simple. Pete Rose should have been in the Hall of Fame years and years ago. His transgressions were as a manager. He's the all-time hits leader, for God's sakes, Bob. But if I was going to make one exception of somebody who shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame, it might be a guy who threw the World Series like Shoeless Joe Jackson did. That seems like more than a minor transgression.
And that's something that happened on the field, you know, that he was involved in and took part in. So I understand that. But again, I make it pretty simple. Like you said, there are too many rules sometimes for me. I just want to see if you're allowed to play. If baseball did not stop you from playing, regardless of what they say afterwards, you played, you put up numbers, you get in.
I mean, Pete Rose absolutely earned a lifetime ban from employment in Major League Baseball, from having anything to do with Major League Baseball, but he should be in the Hall of Fame. Shoeless Joe, on the other hand, and did he really not wear shoes, Bob?
How would you get that nickname if you didn't?
Like a barefoot kicker? Did he play without shoes? I guess there were times he didn't have shoes, because you're right. How would you get
How would you get that nickname? I mean, it doesn't matter if you're in the locker room without shoes or if you go into your house without shoes or go to a grocery store without shoes.
And did you enjoy the movie Field of Dreams starring shoeless Joe Jackson? Malzy hates it.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, I love it too. Limits, do you like Field of Dreams? You don't watch movies, do you?
That is actually my favorite baseball movie.
Really?
Love that movie. Every time it's on, I watch it.
I think it's a tearjerker. I think it's a tearjerker, gentlemen. Don't you? It's about dads and sons. It's about him trying to make reparations with his dad.
Yep. I agree with that.
Would you say you were weeping at the movie, Bob?
I weep a lot, yeah.
Donnie Football, otherwise known as Donnie Chedrick, was in here. He thinks that the wife is annoying in that movie. And I've watched it a couple times since, and Donnie has actually ruined the movie for me because she is annoying. She is. Limits, do you agree with that?
Yeah, but I don't pay much attention to the wife in this in the movie.
She's a key figure in the movie. She's the one who allows her husband, against all reason, to go chase his dreams.
Right, but I'm more interested in Costner chasing his dreams for Ray Kinsella. And Ray Liotta is great as Shoeless Joe Jackson. And James Earl Jones is really good in that movie, too. That's a lot more of where my focus went.
Yeah, I know. But now I can't unsee the fact that she is annoying.
The brother is the one that's really annoying.
Yeah.
Ray, but you have to sell the farm. The bank will foreclose. You have to sell now.
He's annoying. But he's supposed to be annoying, Bob. That's what the character called for. And he was also a star in the show 30-something. Do you remember that show?
Yeah, I remember 30-something used to be one of my favorite shows.
He's good. Very talented. Good. And I might add, while we're not on the subject of actors, is I saw on NFL, a Good Morning Football on the NFL Network. I saw a future star, in my humble opinion. It's former Buffalo Bills center Mitch Morse. And he affects, is it Paul Giamatti? Is that the actor? The guy from the movie Sideways? He affects that kind of vibe when he's talking. Have you seen him yet, Bob?
No.
And I'm sorry I keep saying your name. I've said it more than I usually say Ron at the beginning of shows.
I'm surprised it hasn't come out as Ron. It has a few times.
Watch him. He's very sort of down to earth and sort of clumsy, but funny and smart. He's good. Keep that name in mind.
Okay.
Mitch Morse. Limits, what's next? By the way, Limits, do you think Shoeless Joe, do you think if anything could, for me, keep you out of the Hall of Fame, it might be throwing the World Series. Do you agree with that?
First off, I do think, I'm just with you guys, I think Pete Rose should undoubtedly be in the Hall of Fame. He should be inducted whenever he's eligible. Shoeless Joe Jackson, I do find it interesting that he did hit over 300, threw a runner out at the plate during the World Series. He hit 375, but he did accept $5,000 in cash to help throw the World Series.
That was a lot of money back then, Limits.
A lot of money.
Yeah.
And he hit the series-only home run, too. Him, more than any, like the other guys, I would understand why you would definitely all keep them out. But despite taking the bribe, he still was the best player in the series.
That doesn't mean he couldn't have fixed it in certain situations, Limits. So are you saying that he didn't throw the World Series? Because there are people who say that.
I don't think he did.
Have you done enough research to be comfortable with that opinion?
No, and I was further reading a article about it not that long ago. Hey, Malzy disease.
I know.
We're
working with Limits daily on him battling early onset Malzy disease, which is fear of people thinking you might not know something. So every day little examples come up where we have to work with Limits, and I think we've reached that point here.
I think he's actually done well.
Yeah,
I mean,
he has.
Definitely, the doctor's advice has worked. I think I see progress.
Are you on medication yet?
2 months, and we'll recheck you.
I'm on a little bit more sleep and the pizza from Slice on Broadway. That's my medication.
I think that does help. So maybe some more research before both of us form an opinion on Shoeless Joe Jackson, whether he in fact did throw the World Series. I'm sure Ron had a couple of great columns from there.
He probably talked to Shoeless Joe. He might have talked to him on the field at Field of Dreams.
Can you picture Ron pacing around, Bob, at Exhibition Park way back when?
Yes, I could, because that was Ron. His routine never changed. Whether it was here in this studio, whether it was at the Post-Gazette, whether it was on site, pacing, it's clockwork. You know it's coming, where it's going, and how long it lasts.
Just like him with beer, which reminds me, crack another one.
And Field of Dreams really does make you think that Shoeless Joe just was innocent. But
I hope there's a part of me that gets all disingenuous with all these leagues. No, I'm talking about now that they are in bed with all these gambling sites.
Right.
I mean,
but I mean, that's different.
They can be in bed with gambling sites.
That doesn't mean players are allowed to get involved.
I understand that, but I remember a time when you weren't even allowed to mention the word Vegas.
Right. It's hypocritical, yes. Very hypocritical. What did you just say, limits?
I feel like Field of Dreams makes it seem like Shoeless Joe is innocent.
Do you agree with limits on that, Bob? I don't recall one thing. In fact, it seemed to me a guy living with the guilt of having done something wrong and wanting another chance. That's how Bob perceived it, too.
Oh, I do feel like he does have some guilt. Like, it is shown in the movie because obviously he got caught.
It's another test, Bob. It's early early onset Malzy disease has reared its head again.
He's defending his position. That's good.
That's good.
Bob, I'm just going to sit back here and be mute for the rest of the segment.
Mute.
And not say anything. I'm going to put myself on mute.
Crack another one, limits. God, we love you, don't we, Bob? Limits. With that Baldwin wiffle ball shirt on back there.
I don't want to call him Limits as you do. I know that's a popular nickname, but I keep telling him Austin is his name.
Yeah.
The family name's important.
It is. All right, Austin, thank you for cracking that other one.
Thank you kindly.
We specialize in avoiding talking about the Pirates, Bob, at the beginning of shows. What an unfathomable, or maybe a fathomable, disaster this is. There's so many different numbers I could use. 19 games, they haven't hit in a row where they haven't hit five runs. They've been around for 144 years. They've never done that. Brian Reynolds is 2 for his last 42. When he's not striking out looking with the game on the line, he's hitting into double plays. Him and Tommy Fail are among the leaders in the whole league in hitting into double plays. And what else is there? Oh, they ruined yet another good start.
Exactly.
They have what everybody wants.
They're
starting pitching,
they ruined it again. 8 games is under 2.50.
That was the number I needed.
And it was like 2.28, and they've lost 6.
2-6.
How do you do that? I know how you do that. They put it on display every single night.
You do that?
0-for-13 with runners in scoring position.
Incredible.
The only run they get is a base-loaded walk.
Man, that felt like rock bottom. Although,
you've said that before.
I shouldn't say that. Bob. When you watch the games, it's you asked how it happened. Here's how it happened. They skimped in the off season. That's on Nutting. The little money they did have to spend, Charrington threw it down the toilet. And then Charrington has done a historically horrible job of finding, drafting, developing hitters from anywhere. Mm-hmm. Can you name the one good Charrington developed homegrown hitter in their lineup? No, neither can I.
And he's had 6 years to figure that out. And you would think you'd get somebody.
Yes.
How many rounds of the baseball draft are there? Like 39?
One guy. And there's an international. Well, there's a world out there of hitters that you can sign, like Jackson Chourio, that the Brewers beat them and everybody else to. And then there's free agency, where you're allowed to either spend money or make a really smart move. He's done neither. They do neither. And this is what they're left with, Bob. Now listen to this. Crack another one if you would, Limits. Thank you. I could argue that the worst Pirate lineup of the modern era, let's say from 1960 on, maybe even 50, is the 2020 lineup that Ben Charrington put together, Bob. And they hit 220. Guess what this team is hitting?
219.
Very good.
That's exactly right.
I was going to jump in and say wrong before you even said it. 219.
I was just playing Price is Right right there. I went lower.
Their winning percentage is 326, which means this team right now is on pace to be the worst Pirate team of the 162-game era, meaning 64 years. This is the worst Pirate team of your entire lifetime, potentially.
Potentially.
They're on pace for that.
And that's saying something because there have been some really bad ones.
The current batting average of 219, there is one team in their 144-year history who was worse than that. Okay, let's just think about that, Limits. 144 years of Pirate baseball. There's one team with a lower batting average for a season than this team has right now. Anybody take a gander at what year it was, Bob? Wrong.
I was going to say 1988.
Limits?
I'm going to say, based on what we talked about yesterday, the 1890 Pittsburgh Alleghenies.
You're pretty close. The 1884 Pittsburgh Alleghenies, Bob, hit 211. One of their pitchers was named Flurry Sullivan, which sounds like,
like a hockey
combination of Marc-Andre Fleury and Mike Sullivan.
And it's spelled the same Flurry.
If you go to that, what's that thing called, Ancestry?
Yes.
You'll find Marc-Andre Fleury and Mike Sullivan's picture in there somewhere, because that's a family.
Yes, it sounds like some weird precursor to the 2016 Penguins. Flurry Sullivan.
Flurry Sullivan, yeah.
Another guy named Buttercup Dickerson, Bob.
That's
do you
my
remember him?
Song when I go off the tee. I'm Buttercup because everything fades right.
Build me up, Buttercup. Don't break my heart, golf ball.
That's it.
You can make fun of Buttercup Dickerson all you want. He had twice as many home runs in 1879 as Key Brian Hayes has right now, and he was 5'6", 140, Bob. He had two homers that year. In 1879.
A distant relative of Doran Dickerson?
Maybe. I don't know. Or Corey Dickerson. And they also had a player called the only Nolan. Three words from Canada, this guy was, Bob. Well, I told you that at the beginning of the show.
Never heard that name ever.
Yeah, me neither. And he was horrible, which means he would have fit right in. But the story is Brian Reynolds. What has happened to this guy? Let's talk about that next as we finish up the six-pack here. And why does Ben Cherington just sit and wait and sit and wait and watch this disaster unfold? Ben, wake up. Wake up.
Izzy Z, Peggy Tree.
Izzy Z, Peggy and Tree. I mean, even Peggy's up here and not hitting. He fits right in. So will Spencer Horwitz.
Peggy's back in AAA.
Is he already?
Yep.
Bob, should they have sent Peggy back down or given him more of a chance?
Yeah, I don't know. I've scratched my head over all these guys now. Gorski got a little bit of an extended runway. Maybe Davis will get one now. I don't know.
Gorski came out of nowhere in center field last night. Did you see him on that ball?
He made a really nice play.
No, he didn't. It was a horrible play that he should have taken about 100 less steps to get to.
But again, they have people playing all over the place with no guarantee of any of them being good at it.
Well, they're waiting on Horwitz to save the season. He's batting .238 with no power whatsoever at AAA. So put him at cleanup. And then who else? I guess Gonzalez will be helpful. I don't know, Bob. Let's talk about Reynolds, the $107 million man. Next on Pomp and Joe, off the top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Text line. Brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. By the way, South Hills Kia, you can visit them at southhillskia.net. Do we have word on the big boy? He was he had another obligation today. Is he okay to join us?
He did. I'm still waiting to hear back from the big boy. I'm going to get some confirmation from him.
And who else do we have today, Limits?
We have Mr. Zangrilli.
Oh, my God, Bob. Did you hear his rant the other day?
I heard it as it happened.
You did?
Yeah, and I was laughing.
So was I.
Like, oh, my goodness, he's going into an area. And I thought at some point it would get really to a crescendo where something bad might happen.
I'm not mad. That's impressive.
Oh, my God, is that
impressive.
Great. Play that, followed immediately by Crowley saying, holy cow.
Good evening, Dan.
Can holy you do cow. That?